Before we get started on the new, I hope it's not a surprise, I figured I'd take a quick look over 2017. Looking back at the year. The year started off, of course, with Donald Trump being inaugurated as president on the 20th, right? Our 45th president, a different kind of president from the current presidents that we've had. The very next day, we had the largest ever marching protests in the country as feminists across the country protested Donald Trump being president. March 1st, Britain left the European Union. I don't know what you think, but I thought that was huge, that somebody actually left the European Union. In May, we had the firing of the FBI director, James Comey, and special prosecutor Robert Mueller investigates Russia meddling with our elections. North Korea and rockets and bombs, right? They came on the scene about the same time, and spoiler alert, of course, we're going to hear more about that in 2018. Some are even saying World War III is coming. This summer saw three major hurricanes hit the U.S. Harvey devastated Houston. It was a Category 4. Irma hit Florida. It was one of the biggest storms to ever come out of the Atlantic, ever. Maria wiped out Puerto Rico and then hit Florida some more. At the same time, in June, Samsung's Note 7 cell phone was blowing up and exploding everywhere, catching on fire, right? We have fire and rain in the summertime. October 1st, O.J. Simpson walked out of prison a free man. That same night was the Las Vegas shooting where at least 58 people died. November had the deadliest mass shooting in a church in U.S. history, down in South Texas, where at least 26 people were killed. And of course, it's still going on. November also brought about sexual harassment charges, claims and charges, and people stepping down in our government, in Congress, in Hollywood, and probably going to hear about this a whole lot over across everything. December began with what is now the largest forest fire ever in California history. When you think about California history's own fires, that's a lot. That's huge. The largest fire in their history. The Thomas Fire has burned over 273,400 acres. It's third largest in structure loss. It's burned over 1,063 buildings have been burned. As of Friday night, it was only 65% contained. There's over 2,800 firemen fighting this fire. So there's 2,800 people we could be praying for. Amen. December also brought us the biggest change in our tax code in over 30 years. You knew that one wasn't getting by, right? I went looking for 2017 in review, and this is kind of silly stuff, but considering the day and age and what do you call media? Social media? The most liked post in Instagram of 2017, the top 10. Three people. Beyonce had a couple. Cristiano Ronaldo, he's a soccer player. He had three. Selena Gomez had five of the top 10. The most liked celebrity videos, Cristiano Ronaldo, he had like five. He had most of them. Leo Messi, another soccer player. These are awesome, awesome soccer players, the best in the world. He had a couple. Selena Gomez had a couple. And then I had to look her up. Emilia Clarke, I guess she's the star on Game of Thrones. She had one. Most Instagram locations of 2017. Listen to this. Number one, Disneyland in Anaheim. Then Times Square and Central Park. Then the Eiffel Tower. And then Tokyo's Disneyland. And then Disney's Magic Kingdom in Orlando. There's three. And then the Louvre in Paris. Then the Brooklyn Bridge. And then Disney's California Adventure Park. Four of the top 10 were Disney locations, and then the last one was Las Vegas, the Strip. I think I had one more. Oh, yeah. You probably have gotten pictures from friends or seen on Facebook. You see where they put caricatures on people's faces, make them look like little bunnies or put ears or noses. Have you seen any of that? The puppy dog is the number one Instagram filter. And then the bunny, and then the koala, and then genius and love. just some goofy stuff from 2017. We'll see a little bit more. Did I have it here? Where was it? I thought I had something else. Must be later on. Oh, I'm not quite done, that's why. So what's coming up in 2018? Like I know, right? Should the Lord delay? Here's some knowns, as much as we can know, and here's some intellectual speculations. There will be more shakeups in the Trump administration, no surprise there. President Trump will try and pass sweeping welfare reforms before the midterm elections. The fact that somebody can make a better living on welfare than a person working two jobs is just obscene. He's going to address that and try and get that done before everybody's caught up in the election cycle later this year. Housing looks real good. It was good in 17. It looks good in 18. They're projecting 900,000 new homes being built in 2018. The only thing is they see a need for 1.2 to 1.3 million homes. So there will still be a shortage of homes. The good news with that is if you're a seller, it's good. If you're a buyer, it's not so good. Housing in 2017 rose 6.5%. $2 trillion of country's net worth went up in housing alone over 2017. That doesn't mean your house in Alamogordo went up 6.5%. It might have gone up 1% or 2 or down 1. Who knows? But nationally, that's our average. Recreational use of marijuana is legal in California tomorrow morning. Sometime in 2018, it will be legal throughout Canada. Early 2018 international travel is booked 44% higher than it was last year at this time, or the beginning of the year. Why is that? A lot of what they call second-tier airlines, like not Delta, not United, not those kind, like I got wrote down here, Norwegian Airlines. Norwegian Airlines has flights from New York across the Atlantic for under $200. Wow. Yeah. That's nice, but I'll give you something better. 2018, Southwest announced they're going to start flying to Hawaii. Maybe now we can afford to go to Hawaii. Because flights to Hawaii, all flights will come down. Whenever Southwest enters a territory, flights prices come down. The economy, I'm almost done. The economy, I know all these numbers. My wife is shooting darts at me, I'm sure. The economy is predicted to grow 2.5% to 3% this year, which is higher than about 2% it's been over the last few years. That may not sound like a lot, but if you look at it as percentage, that's 25% greater. The budget deficit, here it is, the budget deficit will increase, which causes interest rates to go up. It's thought the Fed will raise interest rates 3 or maybe 4 times this year. Here we go, last thing. By this time next year, internet traffic will be 80% video. Video. If you're on Facebook at all, remember how it used to be pictures? Now as you're looking at Facebook, it comes up as videos. You're seeing a lot of videos right there. You don't have to go through and check it out. A lot of places, it's all turning video. That's going to be, they say, 80% of internet traffic will be video a year from now. All right, that's all fine and good, but what about us? You know, what about me, you're probably wondering. Well, of course, again, I don't have any idea what's going to happen to any of you or any of us this coming year, but I do know this. You might want to turn some more lights on. Open your Bibles if you got them and turn to Luke chapter 12, please. Yes, we are in God's Word today. I know you're starting to wonder. My wife's over here like, what are you doing? It's the last day of the year. It's New Year's. This isn't a typical. If there's anybody new in here, this isn't a typical Calvary Chapel teaching up to this point. Luke chapter 12. Because I don't know what's going to happen to any of us. If you don't have a Bible, of course, they're in the seats close to you. Luke chapter 12. Look at verse 31. This is something we're all familiar with. It's under the section where Jesus is speaking on do not worry is how my Bible has it labeled. Do not worry. But seek the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. I could just stop right there. Seek the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. What things? Back up two verses. Look at verse 29. And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. This I do know. God knows everything that we need. Everything you need, everything I need. He knows everything we need, and he says he will provide it for us. He knows that we need to eat. He knows that we need clothes to wear. And he'll provide everything we need and more if we just put him first in our lives, right? By seeking the kingdom of God. We need food and clothes, but let's not overlook that third item there. Nor have an anxious mind. Nor have an anxious mind. We shouldn't be worried about anything. I don't think it's a stretch to go so far as to say it's sinful to be fearful. We're told, do not fear. We're not to be feared. And we'll get to that in a minute. If we need it, God will provide it. We just need to trust him. If we seek first the kingdom of God. Now, you may not be sitting here. You may not be worried about where your next meal is coming from or what you're going to wear tomorrow. But maybe you're anxious about a medical bill that came in or how to pay your rent or how are you going to get your grandchild something for their birthday or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is that causes you worry, Jesus says not to worry. Put him first in your life and let him take care of your concerns. Amen? I know that's easier said than done. It is for me too. I'm not saying it like, okay, now you got a secret formula, just do this and we're done. No. If it was, we wouldn't be here. Everything would be fine. This is something we all struggle with. I won't say it. I will say it. I'm not sure. Possibly for us guys more than for you ladies. I don't know. But it's hard to let go of stuff. It's hard to give things to somebody else, even to God. It's harder to give things to God. And without sex, for some of us, it's harder than others. Others, some people, it's real easy. Oh, great, I don't have to worry about it. It's all yours, Lord. For others, it's hard to do. Yeah, but he's going to need my help for this, isn't he? Or I still need to do, and we do need to do our part, but we need to get out of the way and let God do his part in our lives. I said he would provide more than we need, didn't we? We didn't read that, but keep going. Look at verse 32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God wants to give us everything. He wants to give us his kingdom. We are joint heirs with Christ. It's all ours if we just put him first. He will take care of everything else if we put him first. Now we're told here, do not fear. Commanded, do not fear. What are we true believers prohibited from fearing? Well, we're not to fear God with a slavish fear like, oh, don't beat me up. Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, right? But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We're adopted, children of God. We don't need to fear God. I'll continue. We are to have a reverential fear, though. We're to revere him because he's God. Psalm 34:9 says, O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. But here the Hebrew means to revere, not the way we think of fear. It means to be in awe of, to revere. Psalm 89:7, same thing. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him. So we're not to fear God like he's going to beat us, but we're to be in awe of him, of his great and mighty power, of course, because he's God. But we can cry out, Abba, Father. We're not to fear man. We're not to fear the wrath of man, the power of man, the policies of man. We're not to fear man at all. We're not to fear the instruments of human cruelty. Bottom line, I'm going to go through a list, but bottom line, we're just not to fear anything. We're not to fear suffering under affliction. We're not to fear Satan. We're not to fear death. Romans 8:38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? We have nothing to fear. God is in control. We're not to fear hell. John 3:18, he who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If we believe in Jesus Christ, we don't have to fear hell. We don't have to. That's not for us. It's not in our future. Our concern would be for those that we know and love that haven't accepted our Lord, that don't know him. Why shouldn't we fear? It dishonors God. It slanders his power. It slanders his faithfulness. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. He's not leaving us. He loves us. He's there for us. It slanders his wisdom. It slanders his care. It slanders our calling. We're called to be saints and we're called to be courageous. Isaiah 51:2. It's hurtful to us. It distracts our minds. It produces hypocrisy. It enfeebles, it weakens the soul. When we're fearful, we're weak. It strengthens the enemy, obviously. When you're afraid, the enemy is stronger. And it discourages the saints. In Deuteronomy, speaking about the law concerning war, Deuteronomy 28 says, "The officers shall speak further to the people and say, 'What man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, lest the heart of his brethren faint like his heart.'" You know, we're not to fear anything, but when we do and we express that, it affects those around us. And so here, when God gave directions on how they would go to war, if somebody's afraid, if they're faint-hearted, send them home. We only want the strong-hearted going to battle. We're not to fear, but we are to revere. Let's move on. Turn with me to the end of Matthew, please, if you want. The very end, looking at Matthew 28. The very end of it, verse 18. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Amen. Of course, there's a lot there. I'm only going to touch on a couple of things here. Start off just real quick with, "I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus is with us always. Amen? This is called what? What is this called? This is called the Great Commission, right? I got to tell you, being an Air Force brat, which means my dad was in the military, I was raised in the service. Being an Air Force brat, when I hear the word commissioned, I always think of commissioned officers and non-commissioned enlisted. And this is kind of similar. This Great Commission is a command to be sent out. And he gives, notice in verse 18, he gives us what authority he has before he gives the command. He says, "All authority has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples." It's kind of the same idea of an officer reminding an airman of his rank before he gives him a command. You know, "I'm the captain. Airman, go take care of this." That's kind of the same thing. Jesus is reminding, he has the authority. He's been given all authority in heaven and earth. "Because I have this authority, you go and make disciples of all nations." Because he has this authority. So go and do what? Go and make disciples. What is a disciple, really? What is a disciple? A disciple is not just a supporter of a cause. It's not just a convert. It's not somebody that says, "I accept Jesus," and comes and sits in church for an hour, and that's it for the week, and that's all he ever thinks about, or all she ever thinks about for God. That's not a disciple. The idea behind disciple is more of a scholar. It's more of a student. It's studying. It's a commitment. It's a serious commitment. The commitment is expressed here, he says, baptizing them in the name. When you get baptized, you're totally submerged, right? You're totally covered, and that's the commitment of a disciple. You're totally committed to God. You're totally committed to being a disciple. That's the goal for a disciple, is to be totally committed. So I say, let's start off the new year obeying the Great Commission. Let's commit to being disciples and making disciples, and let's see what God does within us. Christ is always with us as we obey the Great Commission. Again, we have no reason to worry, no reason to fear, if we are putting Christ first in our lives, right? If we're not, then that's a different story. And we know many people that don't have Christ first in their lives. Another verse. If you want to go there, it's 2 Timothy 1:17. Off to the right. If you're using a Pew Bible, I wrote down page numbers. It's 1568. Here, we're told God has given us a spirit of power. You recognize the verse. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So let's enter the new year, not with fears, but with the knowledge that the same power that raised Jesus from the grave lives within you, lives within me. The same power that raised him from the grave. Amen? Enter the new year, not with resolutions, but with a commitment to walk closer to God. To spend more time in prayer. To spend more time in his word. To take that, let's make it practical. Well, those are practical, but let's add another thing. To take that extra step to help somebody. Especially when it's inconvenient. Especially when it's hard. Let's take that extra step. Let's show the love of Christ. And I'm not saying we don't, but we could do better. At least I can. To be of a sound mind when you're dealing with somebody who isn't. To be compassionate and loving. Next verse. I got a few verses. Isaiah 43:18. In the Pew Bibles. I should have just told y'all to grab the Pew Bibles today. It's on page 927. If you're not sure where Isaiah is, turn to the middle of your Bible. You'll find Psalms there. Past Psalms, you'll find Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon, and then you'll get to Isaiah, the first major prophet. 43:18. This is something fitting for the new year, but of course, like all of God's word, applicable for every day. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Let go of your past failures, your past discouragements, your past disappointments, your mistakes. You know, today is a new day. Tomorrow's a new year. Forget about those old mistakes. You know, let's make some positive changes in our life as we start the new year. You know, this is very uplifting. It doesn't say, you know, that's not to say that there won't be consequences for our actions, right? For things that we've done in the past. That's not to say there won't be consequences. But God says not to dwell on them, but look to the future and what he's going to do in your life. This verse I find very interesting. Drop back, go back if you're there. Look back to verse 15. Go back a few verses there. God says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinguished, they are quenched like a wick. I find verse 18 interesting because right before telling Israel to forget about their past, he reminds them of their past. But notice he reminds them of the great work he did in their past. He doesn't remind them of their failure and whether they messed up and their lack of faith. He doesn't remind them of that. He just reminds them of the work that he did in their life to remind them. Think back. Don't think about the mistakes you made in 2017 other than the fact to bring up how God got you through it, how God got you over it. Look at it that way. Forget about the mistakes. Remember God's work. What next? You want to keep up? Go two books to the right. Lamentations. You got Isaiah. You're almost at the end of that. Go through Jeremiah. And then on page 1053 in the Pew Bibles, you'll find Lamentations. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Lamentations. I didn't tell you, I'm sorry. Chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. My bad. Won't be the last time. Oh, what did Jason say? That'll be the last time this year? I hesitate to say it, though. I still got 20 minutes or whatever. I make no guarantees. Yeah, Lamentations 3:22. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God's mercy and compassion is new every morning. Thank you, Jesus. Because quite frankly, if we just look at our actions, let alone our attitudes and our motives, or God forbid, our thoughts, we would all agree when Paul says, there is none who does good, no, not one. Just looking at our actions, we don't have to look at our thoughts. It's strictly through the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Amen? Tomorrow's the first day of the new year. But every morning is an opportunity for us to start off new and look at it new. God's mercies are new every morning. We've got 365 days coming up in 2018. Let's refuse to take even a single one of them for granted. Back to the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'll wait for you to get there because we're going to be here for a little bit here. Page 1510. Another well-known verse that everybody here probably knows. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Of course, we were in this not that long ago. Paul wrote, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And again, this is a great verse to start off the new year, but it's a great verse to start off every day. We are a new creation, right? All things have become new. Old things have passed away. I want to look at this a little bit closer. It says, if anyone is in Christ, right? Anyone. You know what the Greek for anyone means? Anyone. No one's excluded, not because of their race, not because of their class, not because of their sex, not because of their nationality or any other reason. Anyone means everyone. And it says, is in Christ. Not into meditation, not into yoga or as a religion, not into Buddhism or Hinduism or New Waveism or, you know, anything. Any other expression or cult, but in Jesus Christ and him alone. If anyone is in Christ. We all know, remember, religion is man's way of reaching up to God, trying to earn salvation through works. Christianity is God's way through the person of Jesus Christ of reaching down to us. He is a new creation. When somebody accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior, they're not turning over a new leaf, are they? They're not getting their act together. And it doesn't mean that we're just forgiven. still haven't figured out how to put that, just forgiven. It doesn't mean that we're just forgiven. It means we're being changed from the inside out. God's working on us. He made a change when the Lord entered us, when the Holy Spirit came to dwell, when we accepted Christ. But it's a constant change that's going. We're growing and becoming more like our Lord until we stand in his presence, until our time has come. It's a principle of regeneration. And even the world, Webster's, one of his definitions for regeneration is a spiritual renewal or revival. Of course, that doesn't make us perfect, and I think anybody sitting here would attest to that. Amen? We are not perfect, but we are being changed. So it's unfair for us to look at unbelievers and those that are not in Christ and expect them to live as a new creation. But it's not unfair for us to look at people that profess Jesus Christ and them not be changed. Not going through changes. If you say, I accepted Jesus, yeah, I'm still going out and drinking on Friday nights, and yeah, I've been living with my girlfriend for 5 years now. Whatever it is, you're still living a life of sin. Nothing's changed. That's not my judgment call. I'm a man just like you are. That's not my call. But I would highly talk to that person about getting on their knees and talking to God about where they are. Because I wouldn't know if they're really saved. Saying something isn't enough. Profess and believe. Remember, profess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. There's that believing part too. It's not just the saying the words. It's also the believing part. And if you believe, you will live a different life, and God will work through you a different life. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but maybe we can take this to our families and friends and neighbors that need to hear this. We think of changing ourselves, don't we, as we begin a new year. New diets,
new workouts,
everything. Everybody does. But as Christians and believers, we should begin every morning with the mindset that this is a new day, a chance to do better than I did yesterday. Because we should. We should be trying to better ourselves and better the world around us with each day that God gives us. Amen? Where are we at? Oh, yeah. We need to be in God's Word every day. You know, whether you make resolutions or not, resolve to spend some time in His presence every day this year. I'm sure most of us sitting here do. Every day in His Word, in His presence. Spend that time. If you do it, I guarantee this time next year, you'll be better off than you are right now. Oh, I forgot. Hey, you guys, would you bring communion in? are there some ready? Thank you. You want to come on in and pass them out? Somebody wrote me a note. It was a question. Pastor Paul, I think we are in God's will once we become born again, or just accepting of Jesus Christ, not by reading His Word. Because you've been hearing me for a few weeks now, keep saying we need to be in God's Word. I just said it, right? We need to be in God's Word. We need to be in prayer. And so the question is, aren't we in God's will when we accept Christ, when we're born again? Well, that's the first step. Then we're in God's grace. But God loves us. He's not going to leave us the same way, like I just said. If you say, oh, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, but there's no change. I'm walking the same walk. I'm living the same life. I'm not trying to draw any closer to Him. Then, no, I wouldn't think you're in God's will. I don't know if it was last week or the week before. I said, I know what God's will is for each and every one of you, didn't I? I said it's that your walk with Him would be so close that you'd be in heaven an hour or two before you realized something had happened. That would be His will, is that we'd have that close a walk with Him now, that when we move to heaven, that the transition would just be like, oh, wow. I don't know if that's possible, but I believe that's His will for us, is to be that close to Him now. Get these open and hang on to them. We'll take communion together. Besides us being together, you know, ending the year together like this, in the house of God, with the family of God, the church coming together, and then taking communion and remembering what our Lord did for us. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Are there any praise reports? You want to say anything? Anybody want to stand up or raise your hand? Do you have any praise reports from 2017 you want to say? Teresa.
When I first started this year, I was not following God at all. I was highly addicted to gaming, and I nearly lost my marriage when I went to the women's conference. I came back to God.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, that's a hard one to follow. Thanks. That's a hard one to follow. Anybody else? I can tell you, Don and I, we're just thankful we had another year together.
And I remembered it.
Yeah, long not nines. Her health seems better, or not worse. We had another year of service, another year here in the pulpit, another year of being your pastor. If you've got grown, you know, a family that's spread out, this is a big one. We got to have all 10 of our grandkids together twice this year, which is hard to do. Which is hard to do. Yes, Michelle. Yeah, your dad's health. Yeah, I know. Yeah. If you couldn't hear, she's talking about her dad and how just how thankful and blessed they are that he's survived these already two surgeries, which I don't know about you, they're major surgeries. These are major surgeries, and of course, being his daughter, she was extremely worried that he'd even survive. Like, I had all kinds of help doing this, or I don't know how this came out so good, but yeah, we know how it came out so good. Keep praying. Yeah, keep praying. Good. Good. Anybody else? Oh, Donnie? No, yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's been, yeah, Donna too. Yeah.
My mom is still here.
Your mom is still here. My mom is still here. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was going to ask. I don't want to embarrass you. Oh, Linda. Amen. And Angela had knee surgery and she's doing better. Go ahead. I want to ask you, if you don't mind, please, if there's anybody that started attending here in 2017, would you stand up for just a minute? Started back. Look around, guys. This is how God has really blessed us right here. Just by adding, yes. That's the biggest, go ahead and sit down, thanks. That's the biggest blessing to this as a church, amen? That he's bringing more family, bringing us more together, adding daily those that need to be here, that are supposed to be here. Oh, and Cheryl, she's not here on Sundays now because she's going to another, I think it's Christ Community with her boyfriend. She's here on Thursday nights. And that's good that they're going to church together, amen? But she started this year too. And of course, we've all experienced bad things this past year. Lost loved ones, illnesses, not knowing what the outcome is going to be. Not just Keith, all of us have been through rough times. Things that, yes? Yeah, and it was something hard, but he got you through it, and you grew so much by allowing him to get you through it. And that's what we need, things that are hard to get through. There's things we all went through that were hard to get through with God on our side, amen? I can't even imagine how people that don't know Christ get through life. We need to tell them about our Lord. Don't assume that they know. Don and I were just talking about somebody here that didn't know about the promise or the challenge God gave in Malachi that he, if we bring the tithes to the storehouse, that he will bless us, beyond what we can handle, overflowing, pressed down and overflowing, things like that. So here, there's people out there that don't even know the basics. Jesus Christ crucified, risen again for their sins, for my sins, for your sins. We need to tell them. I don't know how they get through life. I can't even begin to understand it. We need to tell them. That's what we're called to do. Don't worry about the results. That's God's job. We're just called to deliver the good news. The Holy Spirit will decide, and that's his working. We're just called to deliver the news. Amen? One thing I want you to remember this coming year. Jesus is with you. Every day, every moment, he's with you. Amen? Don't let that get away from you. We're joint heirs with Christ. What is it? God will not take us where his grace cannot keep us, right? And nothing that comes this year, the those things that catch us off guard, that hit us from left field, or that haymaker that comes around and knocks us down, it's not a surprise to him, is it? He knows. He's seen the whole year already. He already knows. And he's with us, so we don't have to be worried about anything. We just have to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given. Next week, we'll be back in Ephesians. But for now, I pray everybody here is accept our Lord as Savior. Everybody's got their elements. Let's just bow our heads. Close our eyes. And I'll ask now, while our heads are bowed, if there's anybody here that hasn't accepted our Lord, just raise your hand. If you haven't, don't take these elements, because these represent our Lord's body. This was given for the church. Is there anybody here that needs prayer? That needs prayer? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Just raise your hand. I don't need to know the specifics. Yes, sir. God knows. Father, we come before you, as always, just in awe of you. In awe that you created the heavens. You created man. You blew breath into Adam's lungs out of dirt. You made us. You formed him. You created stars that are so beautiful, so powerful, and yet you love us above all your creation. You rejoice in our prayers. You love us enough to send your son to the cross for our sins, that we could spend eternity. You chose us to spend eternity with you. We are truly blessed among all creation. And we thank you, Father. We ask you, Father, we lift up these prayer requests. We don't need to know what's going on in everybody's life. You know, Lord. But we can all stand together and stand in the gap for each of these prayer requests and for each other, just to cry out to you, Father, to take care of our brothers and sisters, that we know you hear and that you answer. And we thank you, Lord, that you care about our every need. Whether it's a hangnail or whether it's cancer or anything in between. No matter what it is, you care about what's going on in our lives, and we thank you for that. Forgive us that we don't bring everything to you, Father. Help us be much better about that this coming year. And I'm going to ask you now, Father, to bless this little wafer that represents our Lord's body. As we close out this year, we just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for allowing your body to be killed, to pay the price for our sins, a price that we could not pay because we're sinners. You paid the price that we wouldn't have to, so we get to spend eternity in your presence. We thank you, Father, for this juice that represents our Lord's blood that was poured out as he hung there on the cross, as he gave us all for us. Help us to remember this every single day of the year, Father. Help us to fill us with a desire as we get up every morning to draw closer to you, to do your work, to listen for your voice as we go about our day. And give us faith and patience to wait on you, the answers to our prayers. Both the ones that are this morning and the ones we'll bring to you. For we know you love us. You want what's best for us. And sometimes what's best for us is a no. Sometimes it's a wait. And yes, sometimes it's yes, my child. We remember what our Lord did. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, which we just did, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body. Take and eat." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Take and drink. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. The Lord's death till he comes. Thank you, Lord, that he's not dead, just his body, that he's resurrected. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Go ahead and bring it up. We're not going to do a closing song this morning. You could have looked it up, but we found it was able to do it here. I just wanted us together to read Psalm 23 to close out our year here. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Father, we're so thankful that you're our shepherd and that we will dwell in your house forever. Bless our time of fellowship. Bless our snacks. Bless this church, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless. If you don't have to run off, stick around and just enjoy some time of fellowship to close out the year.